Hello and welcome to episode 20 of the Nicely Done podcast. I'm Satya, I'm a writer, and I am really trying to reduce my screen time for the past few months.
Hi everyone, my name is Amrita. I'm a writer in New York, and I truly do not mind it when it gets dark early. I know it's extremely bizarre.
You guys had one job to not talk about it getting dark for the next 3 months. You have failed. A special welcome to people who love to share their culture with others. But whether it's introducing people to food, art, or even issues from your home state, friends who give us context and perspective are a treasure. We can't all know everything, but we can learn. Thank you for making my world a larger place with each conversation.
Yes, welcome to our episode. What are we talking about this week, Satya?
So in this episode, we are going to talk about Meenakshi Sundareshwar. It's a movie that dropped on Netflix on 5th of November, so pretty recently. And it's from Dharma Productions. We are first going to talk about the movie. We are going to review it, give our personal views on what has worked and what has not, one section longer than the other. And then go into like other movies that kind of draw on some of these regional tropes. The name of the movie is a play on a really famous temple in Madurai in Tamil Nadu. Meenakshi Sundareshwar is a 2021 romantic comedy. It's a Bollywood film. It's set in Madurai in Tamil Nadu for no reason. The film stars Sanya Malhotra and Abhimanyu Dasani. I would like to scream the surnames in your ear if I can, and I probably have. It's been directed by Vivek Soni and has been produced by Karan Johar. Apurva Mehta produced it. And Somen Mishra. So all these bunch of North Indians.
Go to Madurai, all of them, basically.
Yeah. The story of a couple that belongs to this generation and you know, how they manage their relationship with some of the new age struggles that we have, like long distance and family and personal ambition and things like that. So what was your first reaction? Just like after you watched the movie, what's your takeaway from it?
So I did feel like when the movie opened, it had a nice beginning. I was drawn in a bit because I think that the Dharma production, it's one of the biggest production houses in Bollywood. So I think they know how to package something well. I think it begins very sweetly. In the like bookends, literally, the beginning of the movie and the last part where they hired a really nice illustrator, I think were my favorite parts because the credit sequence, the introduction, the names of the people and all, they come on screen with very good design sense, I want to say. So yeah. I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe this is, I mean, I've heard people talking about this movie online in less than kind terms. So I was like thinking maybe we got it wrong. Maybe we all really are going to enjoy this movie. It begins sweetly. Yeah. I think the production value kind of made me a little hopeful. And the first few minutes when no one's really speaking yet and you don't really know what the movie is going to be about, I think I was kind of interested. First thoughts after seeing the movie, I couldn't watch it in one go. It's a bit too much. And I had to come back and see it in the morning. And that really has started my day off like very well. But I am just very, very annoyed at why we have to watch a film like this in 2021 that offers me nothing. I just genuinely don't like watching like badly written cinema anymore. Like I cannot watch it. So I'm very annoyed.
And I was really trying to not look at it through that lens of like, are these people have shown South Indians, you know, not how we actually exist in our natural world. Dharma has a lot of money and that's pretty obvious. Everything looks great on screen. I think you watched this movie. It's a Telugu movie called Pelli Chupulu. Have you seen it? It kind of starts with the same premise of like, it's an arranged marriage situation and they come to the wrong house by mistake and like how they meet and that meeting. I don't know why I thought you saw it. So I was actually pleasantly surprised that it's going to be like that, you know, meeting someone is going to like change the course of your life. And that's an interesting story, right? I was kind of drawn in for the first 5-10 minutes. I like Sania Malhotra a lot. I see her social media presence and I think she's really spunky and she's nice. I really enjoyed her in Paglaith. It's a movie on Netflix as well. So I thought I'll watch her at least, you know, if the rest doesn't work. But the storyline is so flimsy. The plot is just holding on together by like a prayer. Like the smallest thing, like how he calls her name is wrong. North Indians say Meenakshi. The whole time he's like Meenakshi, Meenakshi. And I'm like, Meenakshi.
Yeah, I know. Just to elaborate to the storyline, let's talk about the storyline a little bit. So it looks like this is a, you know, there's a boy who wants to get married and he comes from this family who is very disappointed in him. And then they go and kind of, there is an arranged marriage mix up. And I think Shubhra Gupta wrote about how arranged marriages are shown in this film and in like a nice, positive, kind of like a really, you know, hopeful way that you can actually meet someone really special and the families can come together in a very beautiful way. But anyway, so there's some kind of like really unbelievable mix up because somehow no one's phones ever work. And then
we don't have a network in South India.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry, I should have picked up on that. Yeah. And then basically the couple hits it off. That whole scene was only so painful when he's sitting there and talking about how he's an engineer and how engineering students kind of see things through. Firstly, matlab, I wanted to, can we talk about how engineering students don't see shit through? And my friend who was watching it with me, actually, he says something like, engineering students are problem solvers and you know they know exactly what they want, and she's like no they don't know anything, that's why they kind of maybe go into engineering.
Yeah,
but the actual scene where they're meeting each other for the first time, no one wrote it, is it? Like they were just like, ha, go
improv,
funky, and you can be dull and disappointing and you will fall in love. And it kind of like from that scene I picked up this, even the pauses in the movie were annoying me so much. Everyone says a thing and then waits for that other person to either raise an eyebrow. Like Sania's eyebrows in the first half of the movie did this so many times. I was kind of sick of
it. But don't you know South Indians are like quiet and very like soft unless they're swinging machetes and like running down the street to like kill you for some reason. We have only two moods and that's it.
But there is Thalaivar mode also, no?
Oh God.
The dialogues that they say, you know, this is my pet peeve. Like, no one talks like this. No one apologizes by saying, hey, what's her name? Meenakshi. Hey, Meenakshi, I'm really sorry about what I did to you yesterday. And then she will reply saying, no, that's quite all right. It's no one, the whole script was written in an email format.
Yeah.
And like, I could not hear those dialogues. So yeah, the script, and the storyline were completely ignored. All the money went into graphics and illustrations and the clothes, which are beautiful. So there was something to look at. One of the most unbelievable things was also his whole Bangalore gig, dude. Like, what is that office? What is that boss?
I was just going to say, who wrote that boss and that work culture in 2021 who said that I'm only going to hire single people? Sorry, these are all spoilers. If you're watching the movie, if you want to watch the movie, well, good luck. And come back and we can all hate it together. But who wrote that boss in? Like, I feel like this is Three Idiots ka, that guy. You know who I'm talking about. What's his name? Boman Irani. And like in a CEO format. He is extremely tough for no reason.
Yeah, well, those were all things that like we couldn't digest. But were there any, did you like anything about the movie that?
Yeah, I actually didn't even get into all the things I don't like very specifically culture oriented, which I will in the next segment. But what I liked is I think it was visually a nice looking movie that could be anywhere. If it wasn't very firmly set in this city and given so much importance for being from that city, I don't think we would have had a problem with it. If they were just a couple somewhere in South India, like in Hyderabad or like somewhere in Pune or without making the whole setting centered around where they are from and, you know, their race and ethnicity and all of that, it's visually really nice. Why do you have to explain any of these other things and make them so important and make us pissed off? So I think, yeah, cinematography was good. I think Sania Malhotra did whatever she could with it. She's not South Indian. And even for people who are from South India, Tamil is a very hard language. They have some sounds that other South Indian languages don't have. So pronunciation was going to be off for anybody, which is why I think they were like, let's not even talk in that. Let's just sparse it out with some ille and talaiva and apudia. Yeah, I don't think much worked for me.
Yeah. Yeah, same. I think I didn't even like her that much, honestly. I think that like they based a lot of hope on how she will be able to kind of hold everything together.
Yeah.
But her like really coy, cute, spunkiness got old in the first few minutes. It kind of like that was it. I think it was nice to look at, and to kind of, it was like a Pinterest board. And
yeah, even someone from Chennai probably will not be able to tell you exactly everything about people from Madurai, what they eat, what they talk, the slang that has become vernacular now, foods and all of that, if there is no research, right? So I won't be able to tell you what is authentic Madurai food off the top of my head, essay, and I'm from South India, let's say I have more exposure to it. So this just feels like a very half-hearted attempt to show something that is a culturally rich subject that could have really been elevated from the way her name is pronounced to the house. I have read that it's a very specific architecture, the house that they live in, to a different part in Tamil Nadu. It's not the Madurai style. South Indian food is so diverse, and like it's so you could show so much flavor through that. All of that was just lost. And her, all the women wearing flowers in their hair the whole time, I'm just like, is there a starter book for how to write South Indians in Dharma movies? I'm gonna find that book and burn it. They're like, make them wear flowers and like coconut oil and like some idlis and dosas and like one Rajnikanth poster, and I think all these props go back into the same box, and the next time someone says South Indian, they open the box again and bring it out. And can we not do that? It's interesting that you're using that to build a character, but it adds nothing. Right now in Bollywood, to say she's a Rajnikanth fan, it means nothing.
Yeah, it would have actually been really cool for her to like another regional kind of like another actor and then be like, haha, but like Rajnikanth, but they would never do that, honestly.
Yeah, and you need at least someone who knows some other people from South India to write that.
Right about the food, actually, because here's the thing, they set up the place so beautifully and the clothes and stuff. I expected nice shots of like breakfast and like the coffee and everything, and you know, when we saw the Great Indian Kitchen, the food, the way that they shot the food, yeah, it's so beautiful, but I don't think anyone paid attention to it. Maybe it was because they were like, it's going to be a heavy lift because they had all these other great things to do with the film. So yeah, pretty ignored.
His whole Bangalore thing, I hate it. Like, who are these four trainees who are given this like extremely really nice bachelor pad in Bangalore? And they're like, okay, now be friends. And the way they're drinking on the terrace is so silly. It's so silly. It's just painful.
90s, and even then we were kind of over it.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think what a missed opportunity. Apart from being set in Madurai, and apart from it being just hailed as this family, that is this joint family in a way that's Tamilian, it didn't need to be a Tamilian movie. And yeah, the reason that it didn't need to be open to that criticism. But by putting all these elements so obviously front and center, and by beginning with that visual, then you are opening up a conversation about how a culture is going to be depicted on screen, right? Even if they didn't pay any attention to the culture apart from the, like I said, apart from it being visually Tamilian, they ignored it completely. But just the fact, by putting it out there, it was immediately appropriated.
Yeah.
So my feeling of it was also about just how easily it was a cultural misappropriation, which is when you take one part of culture and adapt it to another setting or scene, and kind of are very okay with it being the representative of the whole and not of the part. So I feel like it felt like such a cheap ploy to get the Bollywood audiences who have always been kind of intrigued and interested in the great pull that these movies have to watch something that was not Tamilian at all. And like you said, without adding any conversation about the culture in itself or about like families in this specific small town in Madurai, and without adding any subtleties of what that young couple is going through because of where they're from. And again, it didn't need to be. They could be dressed in pajamas and then I wouldn't have like brought this up at all. But because she's dressed, it feels like the whole part of the culture was very important to this family. But no one ever brought it up or spoke about it.
I think that's a great point of like, why do we make movies out of certain cultures and then leave the actual culture out of it and just use whatever we want from it? Amrita and I were talking about this after we watched the movie, and we thought that this is not just true for Tamilians or South Indians. This is true for generally regional stereotypes in mainstream Bollywood films. And things have gotten better over time. Recently, I watched Family Man 2, the second season, and it really showed a nice balance of how to show South Indians on screen. They actually went to the extent of being able to show the difference between Tamilians from Tamil Nadu and Tamilians from Sri Lanka. And that's a nuance that I also learned about. I am from Andhra Pradesh, so I know a little bit about my neighboring state, but not to the extent that I can point out the subtle differences. And that was very interesting. And it adds so much to storytelling. So we were talking about like other regional tropes that exist in Bollywood that do not serve any purpose anymore. Even the purpose that they served before was actually like, I think evil. South Indians were used to like make fun of or like racist remarks about, or generally a trope is used to kind of take a easy dig at someone. It's not just South Indians. Punjabis are often shown as this jolly type people. Maharashtrians also get stereotyped. People from the Northeast get stereotyped. Amrita and I decided to talk a little bit about our own states and the tropes we see about our states in Bollywood.
Yes, this should be an interesting conversation. I want to try and like paint a picture of how it was before and kind of how those things have changed with like better writers, better representation, and more sense of how to show stories on screen that are based in a particular region without kind of looking too far away from that region. So in much older films, this is, I'm talking about more than like 15 years ago, I think we mostly saw in those big kind of Bollywood movies that were directed by the then Karan Johar, Suraj Barjatia, we saw Maharashtrian characters and actors kind of just walking in and out of scenes, mainly to provide either comic relief or kind of like, you know, slapsticky humor. And they were always at a lower rung than the main characters of the film. I think the only person who kind of like broke into actual being part of the main cast was like Reema Lagu, who played like the mom in all films. So she was a very like established Maharashtrian theater actor. And her entry into Bollywood kind of became because she was like motherly and maternal. But she never played a Maharashtrian. She just played like Prem's mom most of the time. Madhuri Dixit also Maharashtrian, but at that time she was taken in as a Bollywood mainstream
actor
and never really employed until later parts in her life to ever play a Maharashtrian, which I thought even at that time, I understand why it's like a leap, because at that time, Bollywood wasn't looking to fill these gaps of let's do a regional representation of a main heroine and show her to be Maharashtrian. There's no space for any of that. Like I said, like the house help who came to houses and the trope of it was that this is a kind of rising lower middle class that is just in the background somewhere and not really anywhere front and center. Because whenever you did see even a movie about Bombay, the rickshawala was going to be Maharashtrian or actually from UP, if that if we're understanding.
The bai is always Maharashtrian.
Bai and the Mausi will be Maharashtrian. And one of the biggest tropes at that point was also to show the police and Havaldar. So that was the big trope that even now is very interesting how it's changed. But the Pandu Havaldar was the classic Maharashtrian trope. Who is going to be this bumbling, like silly kind of cop who doesn't really understand, is just there to create some like small scene with something, not really take down anyone's complaint and just be like minor annoying. And that was actually a trope even in Marathi movies. So to show like a really like an idiot as a cop was comic relief and it was easy. So I think when you had to show someone like that in Bollywood, they were like, oh, we know the perfect kind of character for this. It'll be like this Deshpande or someone like a cop who's just has no idea what he's talking about. And I think what is harmful is that those portrayals have then now turned into this horrifying genre, because the buddy cop or like the cop comedies of like Bollywood have somehow all these like Maharashtrians or not Maharashtrians, but
the
main hero is either an Akshay Kumar or a Ajay Devgan, or recently and disappointingly a Ranveer Singh, who is the cop, and his like supporting cast will be Maharashtrians who will kind of then adapt and pick up mannerisms of what Maharashtrian cops are, and then give us greatest hits like Ata Maji Satakli. I think when I went to parties in Bombay, here we are again, I think that song used to play, and anytime they're like, oh, you're from Maharashtra, oh, Ata Maji Satakli, and you're like, this is, you will not find any person from Pune or Bombay or Maharashtra actually using that phrase. So it kind of starts feeling like, oh, so that is your idea of my culture. And it's not, no one's really putting me in a box in that sense, but these tropes perpetuate and they stay, and you know, they don't disappear for sure. However, there has been like in the last 10 years, there has been like smaller like glimpses of hope in that whenever a movie is set in Bombay, I think the great advantage of Bollywood being based in Bombay is that you need to show Mumbaikars, right? You need to show people from Bombay. I think that has played to an advantage, because then you will start hiring Maharashtrians, then you will start having people who are either engaging with Marathi culture in a more direct manner. And those might be bigger stars. Like Priyanka Chopra has kind of done that with Kamine. And you've seen Hrithik Roshan and Shah Rukh Khan dancing to Ganpati music, which is again like something that has been heavily borrowed in Bollywood, but celebrated. So because that's Bombay culture in a way. And it's not really a representation. It's just kind of like a tipping hat to Maharashtra or Bombay in a way, I think. A very light and simple portrayal of that was when we saw a family based in Pune in English Winglish. And that was a middle-class, small family, Sridevi playing a Marathi mom, and some nuances were, you know, very lightly like placed in it because the director Gauri Shinde is Maharashtrian, and this was going to be a movie about like a simple family, and you don't see them like wearing outrageous Marathi clothes or, you know, adopting those traditions. You see them in one song, and that's what makes it so cute and beautiful, because you, when you do celebrate your culture, you do it in a way that's respectful to it as well, right? And you also don't like, it's not shavi somehow. One of the, you know, top stars in the last few years was Jitendra Joshi, who's actually been very famous in Marathi cinema, playing the loyal caretaker in Sacred Games. And I think people were really very taken by him, not just being a, you know, sidekick, but he brought more to the show with his relationship with his wife and like his characteristics. So that's actually an exception to the awful Maharashtrian cop that was played. Priyanka Chopra also played a Maharashtrian in Bajirao Mastani, I mean, as did Ranveer Singh, but she did it I think a little properly, honestly, because it was such a big production. It was hard to really say that this is a movie about Maharashtra set in Pune, it's kind of distracting. And then, so it wasn't really associative for me. But I do also remember Varun Dhawan being Maharashtrian in Badlapur. And yeah, I was really, yeah. And the movie was so great. Again, not about Maharashtrians at all so much. I think that what's kind of nice to see now happening is that when with these TV shows and with more streaming platforms and stuff, I think there is more space for kind of these like gritty-ish things set in and around Maharashtra. The absolute amazing thing that you can do for these kind of shows is to actually hire Maharashtrian actors. The only way to do it is to hire Maharashtrian actors or directors or filming or writers. If you want to bring more of like a portrayal, realistic portrayal. And I kind of see that happening because two kind of indie-ish examples, like one indie example at least, is the movie Court, that is a Marathi movie, but so many people who are not Marathi watched it all the way up to Cannes, right? Similarly, like Sairat being like such a, like a real true Marathi movie, was then taken in with such interest and horribly remade, I'm sure. But so where there is interest, there is hope that there will be better representation. But that has not been largely the case. But I am hopeful for more Marathi engagement in Bollywood.
I think I'm going to talk a little bit about South Indian stereotypes in general. All four states make so many movies. We have our own superstars. We have our own huge thriving industries that are doing so well anyway, right? So I don't even know like why we need Bollywood to also come and make a specifically Bollywood movie about South Indians. They can resell a South Indian movie, like what Karan Johar did with Bahubali. It was a Telugu movie that was made also in Tamil, and he took it and he took it to the Hindi audience and said, this is movie has already been made. I would like for you all to watch it as well. So I think he helped with like the distribution stuff, which is a great model, I think, you know, because you are not interfering with the making of the movie then. Thank God. So my thing with, I've really tried very hard to think about some great examples of showing South Indians in Bollywood, but I think my most recent ones are my favorite. I really enjoyed the Family Man saga, especially season 2. Abhay Deol in Shanghai did a good job, and that was very surprising because he's not South Indian. Generally when I was looking up on about representation in Bollywood, I came across this cringy, I've not seen this movie, the scene of like Shah Rukh Khan eating noodles with curd in Ravan. It's so obviously there to like mock people. No one is seeing that and thinking what an authentic portrayal of Tamilians or South Indians. So I broke it down into like a few aspects and like how they're treated in movie instead of going by movie and stuff. Interestingly, a lot of South Indian actors work in Bollywood as Hindi actors, like you said about Madhuri Dixit. So even in the past, from Vaijayanti Mala to Hema Malini to Rekha to Deepika Padukone, you know, Shobhita Dhulipala now. And there are so many South Indians, in especially women in Bollywood. They have always been, but they are Hindi film actors. My first issue is like, if you have to show a South Indian visually, like the dressing, the whole white sari with a gold border trope is very old now. You don't even make the effort to get the state right when you are establishing someone within that context, with like the oiled hair, like four people sitting and like massaging each other's hair, wearing flowers in their hair, like all this like gold jewelry that is very authentically like very South Indian. And every time you go out, you're stepping out in like one sari in this movie especially, and she's there. And I'm like, there is no need to do this unless you're establishing a world in which she has to be like that. The boy, him wearing the vibhuti on your forehead, and it's just unnecessarily there. Not to say South Indians don't do that, but you cannot use them as character representation tropes. And food, I've already talked about this. Any South Indian anywhere is eating out of a banana leaf and like is slurping sambar. And I wish they show food in a way that is not like, look, look, this person is South Indian. You know, it just exists. It's in the environment and it's blending in seamlessly without having to show that, look at him, this gorgeous shot of slurping coffee, or, you know, this idli sambar that he's eating, or don't use it to make your point. Use it as it's used normally. It's just food, right? Because there's such a history of showing South Indian people as uncouth, who eat with their hands in a weird way and like eat in a way that's visually offending. I feel using that is a bit uneducated at this point for people. And the next thing is music. Every South Indian is not just going around singing Carnatic music. Yes, most of us do learn that. Even in this movie, they're doing puja not early in the morning, but the Suprabhatam playing in the background. And I'm like, anyone will tell you that is really early in the morning Suprabhatam. And when you're doing aarti or something, you're not playing the Suprabhatam. There's always like one lilting South Indian Carnatic music in the background when the mom is working in the kitchen or something. And you're like, it's okay. Like, let's not fetishize this idea of upper class South Indians who exist in one way that we have known and seen and, you know, sort of just accepted now. Clothing, I've already talked about it. This lungi word, no, is like just so irritating to me because no one wears a lungi to office. That guy is walking around, is someone walking around with a lungi? That's a veshti. That's a more formal garment. And are you telling me this man is a clothes businessman and I don't know, like they don't know the difference between the two? Even if you show it, I think you've seen Premam, right? In which how he wears it like naturally.
Oh, that song and that like song. His entry so is good. Cool.
Yeah.
And then that tells you more about like the kind of guy he's becoming in that scene. Oof. So
what a great entry song. And it's not the whole point of the movie. He wears like other clothes at other times, you know. And my biggest pet peeve, skin tone. I think the gaze has to shift a little bit. South Indians are generally shown as dark skinned and maybe we are. But the main heroine, the even supporting cast are like light skinned and you are just... I don't think people set out to do with that malicious thing, but when they show a group of South Indians, it's always like really dark skinned people with like really unruly hair and like oily features and oil in their hair. And like, you know, it's not in a way that is true to how beautiful the people are from here. Even if the way they dress is very different from North Indians, I think it's about the gaze with which you show it also. Not using them as a way to like kind of offset the main character and make her stand out, you know. Even in Chennai Express, all the people in that city look like they're shot from such unappealing angles, showing their like big paunches and like oily like long hair. And like this Shah Rukh Khan is this North Indian dude who has come and he's so pavam and sweet, and like everyone else is like just swinging around axes. And because North Indians do tend to think of South Indians as dark skinned people, as like, you know, less appealing. Many actresses have talked about like Rekha and all, they tried to make a break into Bollywood and they were rejected and they had to go do a whole makeover and come back lighter skinned. And then like they were more accepted. So it's a reality. Let's say it's a reality from 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and no longer. I don't believe it. But I think we should be more responsible with like how we show people. I think it can be shot more aesthetically and also sensitively while staying true. The well-brought up, highly educated South Indian who the father is like strict and like doesn't say much. Mom is like sweet and like will be softly singing in her kitchen. And like, you know, it's all done now. We've seen all of this. Can we like get more layers? South Indians are always shown as extremely religious. And like making decisions, like even in this movie, like the moment he said his name, the grandfather started like blowing on a shankha, and he was like, he has come to claim nobody is giving away the daughter that easily just because your name is matching. Like they're shown as the most rational people, otherwise highly educated, but like when it comes to religion, it's like, yeah, now we have to do what we have to do. So I would like to see less of these tropes. I think South Indian movies are getting made simultaneously in, especially Telugu movies, in Telugu and Hindi. So I think people are going to be seeing a lot more South Indian actors on screen, even if it's not directly in like a Telugu movie, it'll be a Hindi movie. So I'm very excited for that, because I hope that opens more windows and doors of opportunity for people. I think people like Madhavan, Siddharth and all, they have transcended their regional appeal, and not a moment sooner, right? Madhavan is not typecast into like playing a certain kind of a role.
So because Satya and I belong to these two different states, I think we have spoken about harmful tropes about our individual regions in Bollywood films. But, you know, the more I speak to other people who are from other parts of the state, they also have the same things, like, you know, somehow all Gujaratis carry like fafdas and like theplas around, and they speak in a certain way. All Punjabis are, you meet someone and you assume things about how, you know, their lifestyle and their like lusty and like their whatever, butter chicken waving around. Bengalis get portrayed very stereotypically as well as these like Satyajit Ray
speaking, loving,
like fish eating. And Bengalis also in Bollywood have had more representation. Neither of us is Bengali, so we couldn't speak to that really. But they have enjoyed, like, you know, in Piku and stuff, you saw a full Bengali family that, again, wasn't very, like, shavi. But it's, like, it's still there. And you kind of subtly pick up on nuances of how, you know, the dynamic between a Bengali father and a daughter is. So the point is that, like, there's tropes coming from everywhere. And here is my real true appeal. You know, we say this a lot in our episodes, but like, you know, when you show something, I say, just for time pass, and you think that it's okay to like kind of be like lighthearted and fun about it. And this movie, Meenakshi Sundareshwar, is not intended to be a lighthearted leave your brains back, right? They tried to make it relevant and serious, and it was not ironic, like in the way Chennai Express was just meant to make you laugh.
Yeah.
So they don't get a pass on getting these things wrong. And my big appeal at some point is that when you kind of make things like very lighthearted and people are like, "Huh, I just saw the movie, but it's fine. I came home and forgot all about it." You're not going to forget all about it. The problem with stereotypes is that you will be picking them up when you see them in art, and then you will be attaching them to the people that you see in real life. So if you come across someone who is from Punjab, let's think about what is the second thing that you ask them. Is it going to be something that you saw in like a film, and, you know, like, are all Punjabis XYZ? Or, you know, if you see a Maharashtrian, are you going to like start saying Atta Maji Satakli? That has happened to me. And I was not too pleased. And I was just like, well, this says more about you at this point. But we kind of tried to take this very like easily, because we think that it's just in the passing, but all of these things have a value in the present, and they do get carried forward.
Yeah.
So I think responsibility is with kind of everyone. And why do we feel like it's okay to use these in real life? So it's just as problematic on screen, but it's a little harmful, I think.
Yeah, and this is my appeal to people who are writing these movies and producing these movies, that it can only get better if you show an actual South Indian, if you actually showed two people from Madurai and how they were grappling with this situation. I think you would have made a better film. I don't think you would have lost by like spending more time building up that characters. I think there are enough talented people out there who know how to do that. I think you need, like, I think that extra effort needs to come in from like a Dharma Productions to be more accountable to what they are putting out. It's not like making 4 films every year or like 20 films every year. It doesn't matter. This is low hanging fruit. You're just making something just because you can, with feeling no responsibility towards the people you are profiting off of, in a way. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to our show. We hope you learned something, and we certainly did learn a lot this time. The idea is to keep this conversation alive. So if you feel like you have some thoughts to share about how your ethnicity and how your state is being represented in Bollywood, please hit us up. We're now streaming for 20 solid episodes on all podcast platforms. So find us where you get your podcast. Also, find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We love to hear from you. This week's episode was brought to you by regional actors who have hustled long and hard years in their own acting classes and theater groups to make it to the big bad world of films. Local actors, regional actors bring the real deal when they play their own ethnicities on screen. So watch local, ask for local, and thank you for listening. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.